We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Whether you're buying a new car or used one, it's a big investment. Which is why you should choose Pennzoil Platinum. It helps extend the life of your engine and protect it up to 15 years or 500,000 miles, whichever comes first, guaranteed. That's because Pennzoil's base oil is made from natural gas and 99.5% free from engine clogging impurities. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Enrollment required. Keep your receipts. Other conditions apply. See Pennzoil.com/warranty for full details. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Over the line, Orr throws it. He's in. A backhander and a save by Tony Esposito.
Stan Mikita was a small guy, very cocky in those days.
A right hand by Magnuson, and he puts Van Dyke down.
Magnuson trying to tear his hair out.
NBC Chicago's James Neveau.
Murphy picked out of midair to Amani.
Odyssey Chicago Hockey Insider, Jay Zawoski.
Hawks win again! Chris Chelios in overtime!
Part of Blue Wire Podcast.
Came off the boards, he shoots, he's going! Down to the teens! A game-winning goal! The Hawks live to fight another day!
Falling back, Sobel drives, skipped it from
the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
Chicago's going to be in last place forever.
Clear to center for Taves, he got a breakaway!
To you by Triple Threat Sports, Fry the Coop, and by the Sins In-Law Group. Let's drop the puck.
Welcome in to the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast postgame show. Jay Zawoski with you here solo tonight after the Hawks lose in Calgary 5-2. And oh, that sounds bad. It wasn't that bad. Calgary scored two empty netters and actually took the lead on a pretty fluky goal. A centering pass from Tkachuk hits Seth Jones in the skate and jumps over the shoulder of Marc-Andre Fleury. And we're going to get into all of it. But again, thanks for joining us here tonight. Follow us on our social medias at Madhouse Pod on Twitter, Madhouse_pod on Instagram. Find us on Facebook, Madhouse Hockey Pod. We're having a sale at our Tee Public shop. So if you're looking for some Madhouse podcast merch or some NHL 94 theme, some other sort of Chicago hockey themed stuff, you can find it at our Tee Public shop. That link is in our social media bios. So check that out in any of our social media channels. We'll have that for you there. It's $13 classic tees, up to 35% off everything else. And that is through November 30th. So jump on that sale and help us out. And even if you have some other stuff to buy at Tee Public that is not Madhouse podcast affiliated, if you use our link, it still helps us out. So we would greatly, greatly appreciate that. So Hawks lose 5-2, like I said earlier. And I don't have a ton of complaints about this game. I really don't. I think the Hawks played well enough to win against a team that's really damn good. I think people have sort of slept on the Calgary Flames this year, and they've sort of missed how good they are. The Flames are, and I don't know if this is updated as of right now, if they, I'm looking at the NHL standings, 12-3-5. I think that does include tonight's game. 12-3-5, the Calgary Flames. They are plus 30 in goal differential. That is number one in the NHL by 6 goals. They're really, really good. Jacob Markstrom, their goalie, has a sub-2 goals against average. This team is maybe the best team in the Western Conference, and to go out in Calgary and to battle and to have a solid game like the Hawks did, look, you're going to look at the metrics, you're going to throw up, they're not great, right? But that's kind of to be expected when you've got a team that is so heavily outmatched and, you know, so heavily outskilled and all those sort of things. And, you know, the third period, which seemed well in hand for the Hawks, if you were just kind of watching the game, 70-30 in favor of Calgary in terms of Corsi. So it just goes to show you, we talk about this all the time, that sometimes the numbers, the metrics don't tell the whole story. And I think this game would be a good indicator of that. So let's get the bad stuff out of the way first. I think we're still seeing the Hawks a little bit cautious, a little bit hesitant to take shots that are there. They're a little bit hesitant to make a mistake. And I understand that. Like I just said, they've got a pretty small margin for error, especially when they're playing against a team as good as Calgary. But we saw, you know, when they press the issue, when they're trying to get back in the game, they can actually dominate the play for a little bit. They had a really solid couple shifts in the third period, including a really long one by Taves and Hagel, and Kubalik were out there for a while, and just a really solid shift. Long time in the Calgary zone. And we're still seeing, though, even when they have those sustained shifts, they're not getting the shot attempts. They're not getting the shots on goal that you would think those sustained shifts do. And this is sort of what we've been talking about for a lot of the season, is when they're sort of feeling like they can't make a mistake, they're so afraid to just take the simple play. And a play that really illustrated that to me was first period. Hawks have, it might have been a partial 2-on-1, but it was probably more of a 2-on-2. Jake McCabe is breaking down the left side. Patrick Kane is heading towards the slot on the right side. Jake McCabe has a wide open lane to shoot. Wide open lane to shoot. Instead, Jake McCabe, noted defensive defenseman, tries a spinorama backhand pass to Patrick Kane. Now look, if it had worked, we'd all be laughing and joking about it. But look, this is just a microcosm of what has sort of frustrated me about the Hawks this year. When you get wide open looks at the net, take the shot. This is what we've been saying about Kirby Dach. More on him as the show goes on. Take the shots that are there. You don't have to globetrotter your way through victories. And if you look at the way Calgary scored in this game, there was nothing fancy. The game-winning goal went off Seth Jones' skate because Matthew Tkachuk tried to center it out in the slot. That's how you score goals in hockey most of the time. Look at the way Brandon Hagel plays, right? Picked up a 6th goal of the game of the season tonight. Just worked his way out in front. A pass popped out from the boards. He shot through traffic and scored on Markstrom. Reese Johnson, who scored his first NHL goal tonight, had a puck come to him off a bad turnover, caught Markstrom out of position, just threw the puck on net. That's all it's got to be. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be globetrotters. And while the Blackhawks power play has been struggling lately, you know, they need to start scoring at even strength. And they did, you know, 2 even strength goals tonight in Calgary, but they just have to keep things simple. And you've been seeing them do that overall with their game. And that's why they've been more competitive. That's why they've been winning more games lately. But you got to have that mindset in the offensive zone as well. It doesn't mean don't pinch and take a chance. It means when an opportunity presents itself, put that puck on the net and get a scoring chance. Shoot it low. Hope for a rebound. Hope someone's crashing the net. There's so many ways that you can generate scoring chances. It doesn't always have to be the good old Patrick Kane to Artemi Panarin blistering one-timer rocket over the shoulder. That's not how most goals in the NHL are scored, right? They're dirty. They're very simple. I mean, look, our old buddy Barry Rosner says it all the time. Put puck on net, sometimes puck go in. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. That's how the vast majority of goals are scored in hockey. And the Hawks are going to have to learn they're going to have more success if they just take the chances that are presented to them. Because even like I said earlier, the sustained shifts of pressure often don't result in a shot on goal. You'll have cycle, puck move, pass back and forth, really good weaving in and out, getting the puck to the point and back and trying for that one shot. And maybe you get that one shot on goal, but they don't, you never see them really peppering the goalie with shots. And maybe they're not equipped to do that. Maybe they don't have the talent to do that, but I think they've got more talent offensively than they're showing this season. Definitely. And I think most people listening to this podcast would agree. I want to shout out our guy for sponsoring the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast, Kent Sinson of the Sinson Law Group. After over a decade prosecuting homicide cases as an assistant Cook County State's attorney, he opened his own firm over 20 years ago, specializing in all forms of personal injury cases, including injuries as a result of accidents involving cars, trucks, motorcycles, bikes, boats, planes, buses, construction accidents, nursing home abuse, medical negligence and birth injuries, slip and fall cases, and injuries as a result of hazardous drugs or products. His firm's results speak for themselves, with millions recovered for their clients. Sinson Law Group charges no fees unless they win for you. So call for a free consultation, 312-332-2107, or visit SinsonLawGroup.com. That's S-I-N-S-O-N LawGroup.com. Don't go off sides. Go top shelf. Call now. James and I are going to have Kent on the podcast very, very soon. In the little second half of this show, there's a little bit of an update to the Kyle Beach, Brad Aldrich story that I'll give you, but I want to spend a little bit more time on this game. And I mentioned his name earlier, and we've been a little bit tough on Kirby Dach lately. We really have. And it's, you know, the production hasn't been there. And I think the overall play has been solid, but the production hasn't been there. I have to say, after having one shot attempt in the Vancouver game, this was one of Kirby Dach's better games. Yes, he finished the game a minus three, but 19:52 of ice time, four shot attempts, including three shots on goal, 36% on the faceoffs, which is not good. We'll get to that. He had a hit. He had a block shot. He had a fight. I wouldn't say he won the fight against Blake Coleman, but he didn't necessarily lose it. Coleman got the first big punch in, but Dach kind of held his own. I just like the way he was dictating the play in this one. When he had the puck, he was moving it. He was making plays, making passes. I saw him make a couple tape-to-tape passes from his knees. Really solid game for Kirby Dach. Again, no points produced, but overall, a really solid effort from him. Led the team in Corsi, 62-50, 20 shot attempts for, with him on the ace, 12 against. Patrick Kane was second on the team with a 57-58 Corsi, 19 shot attempts for, 14 against. Everybody else on the Hawks was under 50%. Seth Jones and Alex DeBrincat, 48-15 and 46-88 respectively. So I just wanted to make sure, on, you know, the day after we were a little bit hard on Kirby Dach, I thought he had a bounce back game tonight against Calgary and probably deserved to get a goal or two, or at least an assist or two. I just want to be clear. I think it's coming. I think the production is coming for him. I feel like, you know, the next time he has like a two-goal game or whatever, that it might just open the floodgates for him, because I do think part of it is, remember, 20 years old, young player, high expectations, and he's starting for the first time to hear a little bit of criticism. It's not just from us. We're not the only people who have been critical of Kirby Dach's production. I saw it written on, I forget where I saw it earlier today. Somebody wrote it. I know the guys at Faxes from Uncle Dale have been on this for a while, that the production hasn't been there. So, you know, this is not just a Madhouse podcast observation. A lot of people have seen this, and you know Kirby Dach is hearing it and feeling that pressure. So to see him respond after a really down game against Vancouver with a really solid game against Calgary is very, very encouraging. Welcome back into the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. It's Jay Zawoski, solo on this one. James Neveau off for the night. By the way, if you're going to be at the game on Saturday against the St. Louis, I'm sorry, on Friday against the St. Louis Blues, the matinee at 2:30, James and I are going to be there together with our wives. So if you see us, say hello. Maybe I'll bring some Madhouse stuff with me. Maybe I'll have some buttons or whatever and if people notice us, we'll hand some stuff out. I don't know. Or you can buy it yourself at our Tee Public sale. Damn it. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we'll bring some stuff with us for you. Recognize us at the Hawks game on Friday, and we'll give you something. How about that? That sounds good. It's going to be fun. It's going to be my first Hawks game in obviously a couple years, and I'm just really excited to be back at the UC and taking in a hockey game. All right, before we went to the break, mentioned a little bit of a development in the Kyle Beach situation. This is from TSN's Rick Westhead, who, as everybody knows by now, has been completely on top of this entire saga. He says, the Chicago Blackhawks and a lawyer representing Kyle Beach and John Doe 2 have agreed to mediation to try to settle the two lawsuits. The sides are scheduled to meet in December for a day to try to settle Beach's lawsuit before reconvening for a second day regarding John Doe 2's case. Yes, there's reason to be optimistic, but it's also important to manage expectations. Mediation is non-binding. Either side can walk away at any time. But if you've sort of looked through the people who really are in the know about the situation, this is probably an encouraging sign that some sort of settlement's going to get done with Kyle Beach and with John Doe 2. Again, Kyle Beach, I believe that day, Westhead didn't say specifically, but I think it's December 15th. I'm almost certain I saw that. So hopefully the mediator can come to an agreement that's suitable for both sides and all parties can move on. And I hope Kyle Beach and John Doe too get everything they need, get everything that they deserve. And I'm confident that they will. And, hopefully everyone can start to put this thing behind them. I know, you know, the scars of what happened to Kyle Beach and John Doe 2 and the other victims of Bradley Aldrich can never be erased. So hopefully those two are done right by and they're taken care of for a good amount of money that will take care of them for a long, long time. It's just an ugly situation that seems to be, if we're optimistic, seems to be coming to an end, at least in terms of the legal side of things. But yeah, I think that there is reason to be optimistic that this thing is going to get solved one way or another in the case of Kyle Beach and John Doe too. So keep your eye on Rick Westhead. Of course, we'll stay on top of this stuff. And when we have Kent Simpson on, he can sort of tell us, like, okay, what happens in these mediation meetings? You know, is it kind of like an arbitrator in baseball where you're like, oh, you want this much and they want to pay you this much? Let's meet in the middle. Yay, everybody's happy. It's not that simple, of course. So we're going to bring Ken Simpson on for his expertise as well. Okay, going to wrap things up. Before I do, I know it's just me tonight, and James was going to be here but can't be, but this is our last show before Thanksgiving. So I want to make sure I take a minute. Stop the music, dumbass. Okay, I don't know why I hit the music so early. I just want to say to all the Madhouse podcast listeners, a heartfelt thank you. It's been a hard year for everybody, hard year and a half, whatever it's been in terms of COVID. We didn't know when hockey would be coming back a while back, and then hockey came back, and then there was Blackhawks scandal, and it was ugly, and people were jumping ship, and then the Hawks were terrible. Well, the one thing that we have been able to rely on for all these years has been you, the Madhouse podcast listener. And if you missed a couple episodes ago, it was revealed that we have passed the 1 million download mark all time, which is absolutely insane considering I've been told my entire career that there's just not an audience for Blackhawks. People don't care. No one is invested in the Hawks. There's 20,000 Hawks fans and they go to the games and they are the only ones that care in the entire city. And I think we have a million downloads proving otherwise. So thank you for that. Thanks for sticking with us when it's tough to stick with the Blackhawks for myriad reasons, right? But it looks like things in all aspects on the ice and off are starting to head, I guess you'd say, arrow pointed up or at least slightly up in terms of the on ice. And, you know, we'll see what happens with the Kyle Beach and John Doe 2 thing. But I don't know. I am, you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a long time, people know I'm not a cynic and I am an optimist. And I have been optimistic about what I've seen from Danny Wirtz so far. And hopefully that continues. Hopefully it doesn't let me down. Hopefully I'm not proven to be naive for thinking he's trying to make some real and affect some real changes organizationally. We'll see. It remains to be seen, but so far he said the right things, him directly. Remember, the Hawks were the team that called this through a PR person baseless when Kyle Beach first made his allegation. So no, meritless was the word. I'm sorry. Meritless was the word they used, but that was not out of Danny Wirtz's mouth. So, you know, the optimist in me and the, you know, the non-cynic wants to believe that the Hawks are going to do the right thing, but they've got to prove it. But anyway, long story boring. I just want to say thank you to all of you for sticking with us and keeping the Madhouse podcast as successful as it's been. This has been our biggest year. This has been our biggest season by far. One of the biggest episodes we've ever done is the Stan Bowman resignation episode. I think the only one that has done more than that is the Joel Quenneville fired one. And the, I think the Seth Jones trade. I think that was the one. Those are like the top three we've done in the last 5 years. And because our audience is growing, those are probably the biggest ones we've done historically. But the Quenneville one's still the biggest. But thank you for, this is your first time listening, if you've heard every episode, equally thank you. Greatly, greatly appreciate it. All right, I'm going to stop talking now. Thank you so much. Have a great Thanksgiving. No post-game show on Friday because we're going to be at the game. But we will be back next week with a brand new Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast. Be safe. Take care of each other. Stay safe this Thanksgiving. And we love you very much. It's the Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast.
The Madhouse Chicago Hockey Podcast was brought to you by Fry the Coop, Triple Threat Sports, and by the Since In-Law Group.
I'm Amira Rose Davis, historian and co-host of the sports podcast Burn It All Down. And now I'm hosting the new season of American Prodigy, all about Black girls in gymnastics. For the last 40 years, Black gymnasts have moved from the margins to the core of the sport and changed gymnastics along the way. Now they tell their stories. You'll meet trailblazers like Diane Durham, superstars like Jordan Chiles, and everyone in between. Listen to American Prodigies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.